Text number 14 and 15. What's written there? 14, okay.
Shriyatra Rupin Yurgaya Padayoho Karoti Manam Bahudha Vibhuti Bhi Prinkam Shritaya Kusumakaranugair Vigiyamana Priyakarma Gayati Shriyatra.
The goddess of fortune in her transcendental form is engaged in the loving service of the Lord's lotus feet. And being moved by the black bees, followers of spring, she is not only engaged in variegated pleasure service to the Lord, along with her constant companions, but is also engaged in singing the glories of the Lord's activities. There is no purport here. We will read one more verse.
Dadarsha tatra kila satpa tampatim Shriya patim yajna patim jagat patim Sunandananda prabalarhanadi bihi Saparshadagraihi parisevitam vibhum.
Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planets the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the goddess of fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, and the Lord of the universe, and who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Sunanda, Prabala, Arhana, his immediate associates. Purport by His Divine Grace, is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. When we speak of a king, it is naturally understood that the king is accompanied by his confidential associates, like his secretary, private secretary, ADD camp, ministers and advisors. So also, when we see the Lord, we see him with his different energies, associates, confidential servitors, etc. So the Supreme Lord, who is the leader of all living entities, the Lord of all devotee sects, the Lord of all opulences, the Lord of sacrifices, and enjoyer of everything in his entire creation, he is not only the Supreme Person, but also is always surrounded by his immediate associates, all engaged in their loving transcendental service to him. Oh. The goddess of fortune in her transcendental form is engaged in the loving service of the Lord's lotus feet. And being moved by the black bees, followers of spring, she is not only engaged in variegated pleasure service to the Lord, along with her constant companions, but is also engaged in singing the glories of the Lord's activities. Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planets the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the goddess of fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, the Lord of the universe, and who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda, Sananda, Prabala, and Arhana, his immediate associates. So Lord Brahma is bestowed this vision by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, to see the spiritual world and describe it to us and to the other demigods. It is only by Lord's grace that one can develop attraction for the Lord as well as the spiritual world. Because generally the whole world is submerged in illusion. Illusion means considering what is temporary to be permanent, considering what is impure to be pure, considering useless things to be very purposeful. So 99% of the population of this world is chasing after the mirage of illusion. But Srimad Bhagavatam is such a literature where all the goals that are aspired for by the people of this world are very vehemently condemned in Bhagavatam. That is why sometimes we give a Bhagavatam class in the morning, every morning. Some newcomers come and they get a shock when they come. Because oftentimes introducing the topic of detachment without giving higher taste proves futile. Because when one knows what is the value of spiritual world and Krishna and the engagement in devotion service, then one can understand how the things of this world are futile. Like for example in Bhagavatam, gold is called as yellow stool in Bhagavatam. Big bungalows, marble palaces which people make for living, that is called as Gandharvapur. Gandharvapur means imaginary building that appears in the clouds. Sometimes a white cloud appears like a big marble bungalow. But after some time the cloud disperses away. Similarly, people make big palaces in this world to live. And then when they die, they leave it behind and go away. That's why it's called as Gandharvapur. In Bhagavatam like this you will find, in fact in Bhagavatam there is condemnation also of the attraction to the opposite sex. And in these days we have to say same sex also. So that is also condemned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Rukmini in her arguments that she presents to Krishna, she is condemning the uselessness of the material body. So we can find throughout Bhagavatam the material pleasures are all thoroughly condemned, which are most aspired by the materialists of this world. On the other hand, the spiritual truths as presented here are greatly glorified. The spiritual world where the Lord resides is one abode and with all his associates. It's very special. Prabhupada says that a king may give charity to the poor beggars who come to his palace. But when it comes to giving something to his own son or daughter, he will give the most special thanks. So the material world is the gift of God for atheistic people who wanted to forget him and be away from him. You can imagine, even the gifts of God in this world are so attractive. But they are illusory gifts. So they give mixed suffering and happiness. They don't give only happiness. On the other hand, the gifts that Lord has reserved for his own children, the devotees, are the spiritual gifts in the spiritual world, which are imperishable, everlasting, which expand the bliss, ananda ambudi vardhanam, pratipadam purnamrita svadhanam. They expand the devotee's bliss. And they are so powerful gifts that even before you achieve them in the spiritual world, you can experience them while being here. Even while being in this world. Simply by getting connected to the Supreme Lord by following his instructions. That is why Prabhupada gives a very beautiful, simple example. Just like you have the flesh and the nail, and the nail grows out of this portion, it becomes dead nail. Isn't it? It becomes a dead nail. When you cut the dead nail, you don't feel any pain. But when you cut it inside by mistake, then it causes severe pain. Isn't it? So spirit is like life and matter is dead. So the material world is like the dead nail, he says. And the spiritual world is like, what is life? Chetan. Another example Prabhupada gives is the fire and the smoke. Spiritual world is like fire. Material world is like smoke. And he says, fire serves and smoke troubles. Is it not true? Like when you have a firewood with which you cook something, and the fire is very helpful, but the smoke only creates trouble. Smoke enters into nose and eyes and burns. In the same manner, the spiritual world, there is no suffering in the spiritual world. Spiritual world is a very place of ever-expanding happiness. But material world is like a smoke, and everyone has experience in this world of what is suffering. And how the suffering keeps coming on and off, time to time it keeps visiting. Or we can say that happiness visits occasionally. Mostly there is suffering. So, in the pages of Bhagavatam, we are finding how Brahma describes the spiritual world, kingdom of God, very beautifully to the demigods. And at the end, he will be lamenting, telling them how foolish and unfortunate we are that we have become forgetful of that spiritual world. And we are just very complacent and satisfied in savoring this illusory enjoyment, which is like a mirage. How foolish. Although we are given this opportunity to understand in this human form of life, Shankaracharya said, three things are very rare, he said. One is human form of life. Second is to get an ideal preceptor, spiritual master, who is like a compass in Atlantic Ocean. In the middle of an Atlantic Ocean, without a compass, you don't know where to go. So Guru is like the compass who can take us towards the shore of the spiritual world. So to get a human body, to get a proper Guru, and thirdly, the desire to attain the lotus feet of God in the spiritual world. It is to go back to spiritual world. The desire. These three things are very rare. First of all, getting human body is rare. We got it. To get a Guru is very rare. That also we got it. Now only the third one we have to get. The desire to go back home, back to Godhead. That is something we have to cultivate. And understand, cultivate and increase that urge or the emergency. Because without that longing, we cannot go back to spiritual world. Without having that longing. Whatever our mind longs for, we will get that. In the subsequent life. Which means, whatever things are very impressive to our minds, whatever things we feel are wonderful, great, impressive, very touching to our mind and hearts. So that is the thing we are going to achieve. Yeah, it's very easy to know. Oftentimes we wonder, what will be my next body? Where will I go? Very simple. It's very easy to know in this life itself. So, in this way, in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also, there is description about spiritual world. And Prabhupada says one should be captivated by hearing this information, Prabhupada is saying. Captivated. One's heart should be attracted by hearing this information. Then one can prepare oneself very soon to go back. So here in these verses it is said that Lord is accompanied by many of his associates. You see, even in the material world, Prabhupada explains here with this example of king. A king, when he is passing through the road, you never find a king walking alone. He has his entourage, as we call it. He has his chariots and horses and elephants. In fact, even the announcers in the beginning, Savadhan, so-and-so king is coming. And they play all the band, all kinds of instruments, bugles and drums and kettle drums and elephants and horses and chariots and Brahmanas chanting Vedic mantras and Kumaris carrying some kalashas on their head. It's a procession and people carrying flags and hundreds and thousands of people behind. So, a king is a respectable person in this world. Even such a king is accompanied by so many people, associates. And in the court also, you find king has ministers who are his well-wishers, advisors. And king has bards who sing his glories and his parakramata, achievements. They sing poetry. There are girls who dance. And there are hundreds and thousands of servants who are doing chamar for him and who feed him different types of food and ready to serve him at his beck and call. You can see that. Even in this world, it is very observable. It's not a new thing. So if an ordinary mortal who is destined to be born and die, if he has so much associates and everything, how much more the Supreme Lord who is unparalleled, who has no equal or who has no superior, how many associates he will have. There is a big difference in Lord having associates and kings having associates. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, many servants may serve the king out of fear or out of a sense of duty or accepting some salary. They may serve the king. Whereas the Lord is not served by people like that. He is served by very loving associates who don't want to even blink their eyes when they serve him. They love him so much. You see, sometimes you see in a billboard, you know, there was a billboard, I saw a man, you know, he was very coolly relaxing in a bed, you know, and one lady is giving him, please take this dress. Another lady, you know, she is showing fan to him. Another lady is giving him shaving cream and some razor. Another lady is putting boots for him. You know, one lady is putting socks for him. Another lady is carrying a, you know, some coat, suit and coat. Sir, please wear this. And this fellow is showing hand, now put the coat and everything, you know. So how many men do you think in this world will be served like that? Honestly, find out. Do you think one man will be served by 20 women like that? That is only possible in a billboard. One another place where it is possible is spiritual world. Where Krishna is being served, you go to Mayapur Dham, you find Madhav is standing, playing on his flute. Vaishyamitra Radharani is standing next to him, ready to serve him, and all the gopis are bringing different items. Sir, please take this, you know, tambul. Please take this flower. Different things they are serving. So, these guys are imitating. Recently, I saw another billboard. One fellow is playing flute also. You must have seen that. Imitation means 100% imitation. Total imitation. Isn't it? So, recently I was hearing an interesting lecture by my special master. He was telling, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says? Amanina Manadena. He says, one should not expect any respect for oneself. One should always offer respect to others, he says. But in Bhagavatam we find Lord Krishna was telling Indra, my dear Indra, you may go now. But always remember that I am your master and you are my servant and you should always serve me. You should never think you are my master. I am your master. Now Krishna is telling like that. To Indra, mega gambiraya vacha. The verse says like that. Which means his voice was rumbling like a cloud. Although Krishna was a small boy in Vrindavan, standing in barefoot, even without any sandals. And he's playing on his flute with a peacock feather on his head. Although he looks like a simple covered boy, he's speaking in a very adult and grave tone to Indra. So Indra, you may go now, but always remember that I am your master. You are my servant. So Mahaprabhu is teaching everyone that everyone is your master and you are their servant, isn't it? But then why Krishna says, I am your master, you are my servant? In that purport, Prabhupada is writing, there are many politicians in this world who try to promote themselves by putting big billboards and their photos, pictures. And they say that, please look at our forms and vote for some 5 or 2 or 3 or something they show. Isn't it? You know, some symbols they show. Vote for so and so. Yeah. You find their names are put up there. Their forms are put up there. Remember our forms, remember our names and vote for our symbols. Is it not true? And they're promoting everywhere. And Krishna says the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana means what? Think of me. He says, Mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender only unto me. So it may appear very similar. You know, politicians are saying something and Krishna is saying the same thing. What is the difference? The difference is politicians want to exploit us selfishly, for their own selfish purposes. Whereas Krishna wants to give us the ultimate happiness by asking us to surrender to him. Just like a mother sometimes tells a child, see, I am giving you some pocket money every day, some 50 paisa, 1 rupee, something. Like in India, this habit is there. Children take some, every day some coin from mother. Mother will say, but you should not buy that mithai near your school, which is kept outside with flies. Huh? You should not eat that. If I get to know that you are eating it, then I will not give you. So she gives a warning. And she says, anybody gives you anything to eat, you should ask me first. Only after that you can eat. Don't eat anything. So sometimes you find children, it's very amazing. Psychology, you can see that when somebody gives something, the child will look at the mother's eyes. You have seen that? Mothers know it very well. Somebody gives a child, they come to the home and say, please take this 5-star chocolate. You know? And the mother has scolded the child so much for eating 5-star chocolate. Already all teeth is gone, like old man. The child is just 5-6 year old, but looks like old man already. No, teeth only. But sometimes uncle or aunt comes and gives the child 5-star chocolate. And child likes it very much. Still you will see the child will look at the mother's eyes. Can I eat it? And mother may sometimes say, okay, take little. She will break little and give. Only for tasting. You cannot eat it. So, now mother is saying, Mamekam Sharanam Braja. My dear child, don't surrender to uncle. Don't surrender to aunt. Don't surrender to any of the visitors to our house. Surrender only unto me. Whatever I say, you should follow. In the same manner, Krishna tells also, surrender only unto me, because he is our supreme well-wisher, Suhrit. He is our heart-to-heart well-wisher. Nobody can wish well for us better than Krishna or his devotees. And Manmana, why he says, think of me? Because the more we think of Krishna, the more we will come to reality. The more we will come to realize our true position. We will know. That is why in the pastime of Indra, who had become artificially puffed up and very proud, and Krishna saw that, oh, this demigod is having a diseased mentality. He has become foolish. So Krishna wanted to teach him a good lesson. Actually, Krishna could have waged a big war against Indra. That was quite possible. Is it not true? Krishna and all the Yadus, Yadava dynasty, everyone wages a war against Indra. And Indra brings all his demigod associates. That is a big fight. That would have given too much prestige to Indra. Krishna didn't want to give that prestige. Why should Indra's name be recorded that he had a fight with Krishna? In order to thoroughly humiliate him, what Krishna did, he just took the Govardhan hill. And not only he lifted the Govardhan hill, he lifted the Govardhan hill with the tiniest, softest finger amongst all the fingers. He lifted to tell Indra, it doesn't take me even the left hand to stop you from, pushing off the Govardhan hill. It just takes me one finger only. That's all. And what do you think Indra was doing? Do you think he was just sitting and watching? Okay, Krishna has lifted Govardhan hill and under the hill he and his associates are having a good time. Indra tried his best. He climbed on the back of Airavat elephant and went with his thunderbolt and boom, boom, boom. He was hitting on the top of the mountain. And he was somehow trying to topple the mountain. Can you imagine somebody carrying a mountain like this? He was trying to topple it over. But he just couldn't do anything at all. And he also took the help of some other clouds to put showers and, he wanted to shatter the mountain to powder. He couldn't do anything. What do you think happened at the top of Govardhan? The deers and all were going through the forests and Govardhan very happily running here and there. Sometimes a lion would look up at the sky at Indra hurling thunderbolts and say, shout. He'd make a sound. Hey, you rascal, what are you doing? That's the only thing that happened. Nothing else happened, yeah? And Krishna below very coolly with his associates was enjoying. Very nice pastimes. Yeah. And then when Indra later on realized his folly, he came and fell at Krishna's feet. At that time Krishna told him, Indra, you have forgotten that I am your master. You will never find Krishna telling his associates in Vrindavan that I am your master. You will find Krishna falling at the feet of Yashoda, touching her feet. Krishna is falling at the feet of Nanda Baba, taking his sandals on his head. Have you ever seen Krishna telling Father, Mamekam Sharanam Braja? They are already surrendered souls. Why should he tell them you surrender? If somebody is already a surrendered soul, Krishna says, now I will surrender to you now. You don't have to surrender to me. You are already surrendered. And why does Krishna want to bring people like Indra to hands and knees, falling at Krishna's feet? There is a reason for that. Because Krishna says it is unnatural for you to be proud. It is unnatural for you to be autonomous and independent. That is why he says, Ame vina bandhu aro keya chetomara. Hey, who is your friend? A better friend than me? Huh? There is no better friend for you than me. Independently, you cannot be happy. Bada dukkha payachi swatantra jivane dukkha dure gelo o paravarane. So he says, bada dukkha payachi swatantra jivane. By being independent and autonomous, I have only achieved insurmountable suffering in this world. He is saying. That was the position of Indra. So Lord wanted to tell Indra, hey, Indra, why are you doing this drama? Why are you trying to assume yourself as the supreme controller? Yes, it is true. You also have your associates. You have your Sachi sitting by the side of Indra and all the demigods doing chamar and, you know, peacock feather and, you know, offering aarti to Indra, offering him nice foodstuffs to eat. Yes, you are king of the demigods, but you are not the supreme king like Krishna. He may be worshipped in a small circle. For that matter, everyone in this world is worshipped in their own circles. Everyone in this world. Like, you know, I happened to be in Calcutta. And there was a big, the Prerana festival was going on, and roaring noise amongst the students. There were about 1500 students. Everyone was saying, Mr. Barua has come, Barua. So somebody came and told me, Govindpu, Gaurangpu, we were all standing there. They said, hey, Mr. Barua has come. They said, I said, who's Barua? We don't know. You don't know Barua, what is this? Then they went to Krishnachandrapu and one more devotee, they said, Barua has come. He said, okay, but who is Barua, he was asking. You guys don't know this. You are not in touch with the outside world. They said, Mr. Barua is the grand chess champion of India. One who is number one in India, chess champion. So he has come, he's a youngster, not very old. He must be in 30s. So he's sitting in the audience. Anyway, we caught him to the front to come from behind the stage. Brought him and we took him to his Holiness Radhanath Swami. Took him and he went and offered namaskar to Maharaj. That man was very happy that he could get access to Swamiji directly. Then Maharaj said, who is it? He asked. Then he said, Barua. I said, what is Barua? Anyway, I went very close to Maharaj's ears and said, Maharaj is the grand chess champion, now champion of India. He said, oh, chess champion, okay. Maharaj took a book and he signed up and he gave it to him. Please take this book as my gift to you. And then Maharaj asked him, do you know what is the content of this book? And that champion asked, yes, Swamiji, please tell me. This book tells you how I was checkmated by Krishna. He said, immediately that man understood. So he told him in his language. So, why I was telling, there are many big people, and every big person is surrounded by a group of people. They will never be alone. They will always be surrounded by people. Like Indra is surrounded by so many associates. But he became bewildered by such honor and respect and prestige that came to him. He became very proud. So Krishna wanted to bring him on his hands and knees. Why? The goal was to rid Indra of the diseased mentality. Because once the diseased mentality is removed, actually, when we consider ourselves to be smaller than everyone else, it is very difficult to blame anyone. It is very difficult to blaspheme anyone. It is very difficult to belittle anyone. We cannot do this. Can you blame or blaspheme or belittle anyone who is superior to you? It's impossible. It's only possible when we think I am superior to someone. I am better than so and so. I am great, I am smart, I am potent, I am powerful, and I don't need anyone's help, and I am autonomous. That kind of thinking only can make belittle others. That's a diseased mentality, which Krishna wanted to cure. So he brought Indra to his hands and knees. And then, once Indra offered his prayers and everything, Krishna forgave him. Yeah, Krishna completely forgave. That's why he said. Actually, Indra submitted a resignation and Krishna told him, no, no, Indra, you may go now. Continue your service. But he said, never be proud. He said, always understand I am your master. See, Krishna has to tell, unfortunately, to some living entities that understand I am your master. You are my servant. The conditioned souls are so nasty and so rebellious. Krishna has to tell. Like in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Ajo pisan avyayatma bhutanam ishuro pisan is saying, Aja, I am unborn. Living entity shout back, we are also Aja. And Krishna says, avyayatma, I have an imperishable body. And living entity shout back, our material body may be perishable, but we also have imperishable spiritual body. And then he says, bhutanam ishuro pisan. I am the master of all of you living entities. That nobody can call back. Living entities keep chup chap. They can't speak anything back. Bhutanam Ishwaropisan. I am the master of all living entities. And then living entities say, okay Krishna, now we surrender to you. Then they have to surrender. Prakritim Swamadishthaya. I come into this world out of my own sweet will. Not by force. Yeah, it's not by force I come. You know, Prabhupada is one special acharya who completely exposed all the bogus gurus and bogus swamis who have been cheating the living entities. Like there is one young man from South India called Nityananda, Swami Nityananda. He goes to Microsoft and other places in the West, in America and all. There he, in the mic, he is telling them, I have come here to not tell all of you that I am God. I have come here to tell you that you are God. Can you imagine? This is his lecture from Bhagavad Gita. So basically he is telling that don't think I am only God. I am also God. You are also God. So you can be happy. I can be happy also. Both. This kind of bogus preachings are going on. That is what Krishna is telling. So Prabhupada says in one of his purports, as soon as the living entities see Krishna in this material world, two mistakes they commit. What is it? One is they think, I am in the material world and Krishna is in the material world. That means he is also like me only. He is an ordinary man. He is a politician, diplomat, and they think like that. Or they see Krishna in the material world. They think, oh, Krishna is God and he is here and I am also here. That means I must be God. I am God, everyone is God. They think like that. So, and there are some people who say that, you know, there is no God. And there is no God, atheistic people argue. And then Krishna says, Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, he comes in front of the living entities and says, how can you say there is no God? I am here. And then they say, no, no, God cannot come into this world. Not possible. How can he come? Then Krishna says, "Are, if I don't come, you say there is no God. If I come and stand in front of you, you say I am a human being, then what am I supposed to do? Is it not true? So, see, Prabhupada's lectures are very powerful. He conveys the truth in such simple terms. So living entity is neither God, nor is God living entity. God is God, living entity is living entity. Prakritin Swamadishthaya, he says. I come out of my own sweet will into this world, and when I want to go out, like when governor enters the jail, he sees all the people, and then when he goes out, the jail keeper will open the door and let him go. If I also go to near the gate and say, I also want to go out now, they will not be allowed. Until they finish the term, no prisoner will be let out. That is why we don't have freedom while we are trapped in this material bodies. So, Krishna brought Indra to hands and knees to make him realize this point that you are not God. You are a tiny mortal. And your tattva is to be a servant. To be a servant. And also to be a marginal shakti means we are very vulnerable and we are dependent on God for everything. At every moment, We are depending on God for breathing. If somebody says, I don't believe in God, you plug the nose immediately. You know, tell them, you believe in God, so God will not give you air now. Let us see how you survive. You will understand. Every moment we need air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, a place to sit. So even atheist requires some grains from God to eat and then argue about God. Argue against God. So, Indra came to his senses. So, we may have many people having many associates, but Krishna's associates, as explained here in these verses, actually Krishna has many energies. Like, you know, the spiritual world, the material world, and there are also material energies, as I was telling you at the beginning, like the nail and the flesh. So there is a Chetan Atma, and there is a Jada Padartha. These are all energies of Krishna. There are three types of Shaktis. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta, what is that verse? Kshetra Jnakya Tathapara Parasya Brahmana Shakti Tathya Makilam. There is a verse which says, Avidya Karma Sanyaya Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. Three types of Shaktis are explained. There is a Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti and Tatasa Shakti. Antaranga Shakti is the internal circle of Krishna. Just like every individual person, you will find, like the Prime Minister of India, and all the citizens are his citizens. He accepts them as citizens. But they are not his confidential associates. They are allowed to live in the country because they follow the laws. That's all. There is nothing so great about it. But there are people like Member of Parliament. They are more important for him, because through them, the whole country is managed. Then he has his very intimate associates, like his wife, his children, his very near relatives, like brothers and sisters and mother, father, everyone. It's very antaranga. So that is his internal circle of people. And if you see his intimacy, it will vary also. And people, like, we are all living as citizens, but we never get to see the PM face to face. Like that, the jnanis, they can never see Krishna face to face. They can at best go to Brahma Jyoti. They can never see Krishna, because Krishna doesn't consider them intimate at all. In fact, they are blasphemers of Krishna. Oftentimes they blaspheme the personal form. So Krishna doesn't let them come into his internal circle. And then there are yogis who accept the form of Krishna in the heart, the Paramatmavadis. So they meditate on the Lord in the heart for many, many years, meditating on his personal form. If you see Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali, there are Yama and Niyama in that. Ishvara Pranidhani is there. Ishvara Pranidhani is coming in Niyama. Shaucha Santosha, Swadhyaya, Tapa, Aparigraha. And I think last one is Ishvara Pranidhani, he says. Surrender to Lord Vishnu in the heart. When they do that, then they advance further in understanding of Vishnu more. And they may become some kind of associates, formal associates, respectful associates of Lord Vishnu. But then there are very intimate associates explained here. Like Nanda Sananda, the name comes in Bhagavatam quite often. See, these are the same personalities who are associates of Vishnu who come to receive Dhruva Maharaj.
I had taken one.
Okay, I'll read a little bit about the Lord's energies. See, this is the darshan that Akrura got, Akrura's vision. Adorned with a helmet, bracelets and armlets, which were all bedecked with many priceless jewels, and also with a belt, jeweled belt, a sacred thread, necklaces, ankle belts, earrings, the Lord shone with dazzling effulgence. In one hand he held a lotus flower, in the others a conch shell, discussion club, Shankh Chakra Gada Padma. Grazing his chest were the Srivatsa mark, the brilliant Kaustubha gem and a flower garland. Encircling the Lord and worshipping him were Nanda, Sunanda and his other personal attendants, Sanaka and other Kumaras, Brahma, Rudra and other chief demigods, the nine chief Brahmanas, best of saintly devotees, హెరడ్ బై ప్రహ్లాద్, నారద, ఉపరీచర వసు. ఈచ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ గ్రేట్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ వాజ్ వర్షిపింగ్ ద లార్డ్ బై చాంటింగ్ సాంక్టిఫైడ్ వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రైజ్ ఇన్ హిజ్ ఓన్ యునిక్ మూడ్. ఆల్సో ఇన్ అటెండెన్స్ వేర్ ద లార్డ్స్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఇంటర్నల్ పొటెన్సీస్ శ్రీ, పుష్టి, గీర్, కాంతి, కీర్తి, తుష్టి, ఇలా అండ్ ఊర్జా. యాజ్ వేర్ హిస్ మెటీరియల్ పొటెన్సీస్ విద్య, అవిద్య అండ్ మాయా, అండ్ హిజ్ ఇంటర్నల్ ప్రెషర్ పొటెన్సీ శక్తి. సో ద పర్పోర్ట్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ వాట్ ఆర్ దిస్. సిఆర్ విష్ణు చతుర్ ఠాకూర్ సెయింగ్ శ్రీ ఇస్ ద పొటెన్సీ ఆఫ్ వెల్త్, పుష్టి దట్ ఆఫ్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్, గీర్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్, కాంతి ఆఫ్ బ్యూటీ, కీర్తి ఆఫ్ ఫేమ్, తుష్టి రెనన్సియేషన్. దీస్ ఆర్ లార్డ్స్ సిక్స్ ఆపలెన్సెస్. సో వీ కెన్ ఆల్సో సే దిస్ ఆల్ బ్యూటీ, ఆల్ నాలెడ్జ్, వి సే నా వీ కెన్ యూజ్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్ శ్రీ, పుష్టి, గీర్, కాంతి, కీర్తి అండ్ తుష్టి, సిక్స్ ఆపలెన్సెస్. ఇలా ఈజ్ ఇస్ భూశక్తి, ఆల్సో నోన్ యాజ్ సంధిని, ద ఇంటర్నల్ పొటెన్సీ ఆఫ్ హోమ్ ద ఎలిమెంట్ ఎర్త్ ఇస్ అన్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్. యూ విల్ సీ బాలాజీ హ్యావింగ్ భూదేవి, శ్రీదేవి, టూ దేవీస్. సో దట్ ఈస్ భూశక్తి. అండ్ ఇన్ఫ్యాక్ట్ వెన్ లార్డ్ వరాహ ఇస్ లిఫ్టింగ్ ద ఎర్త్ ఫ్రమ్ ద గర్భత క్వశ్చన్ బ్రింగింగ్ అవుట్, దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో భూమా, దట్ భూ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ లార్డ్స్ కన్సార్ట్ ఆల్సో. Urja is his internal potency for performing pastimes. She expands as the tulasi plant in this world. Vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance, are external potencies who cause the living entity's liberation and bondage respectively. Yeah, vidya causes enlightenment and avidya causes bondage. Shakti is his internal pleasure potency. Khladini Shakti and Maya, and Maya is an internal potency who is the basis of Vidya and Avidya. So there is Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, which Yoga Maya liberates and Mahamaya binds in the material world. The word Cha implies the presence of Lord's marginal energy, the Jiva Shakti, who is subordinate to Maya. Lord Vishnu was being served by all these personified potencies. Yeah. So, in this way, all the potencies of the Lord who serve him are explained here. This is, if you want the verse number, Sakrura's vision. This is chapter 10, 39, 53. So, this Nanda Sananda name you will hear often. They are the very intimate associates of Lord Vishnu. See, they are speaking to Dhruva Maharaj. I want to read that section. Nanda Sananda speaking. See here, it says, Dhruva Maharaj was always absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. His heart was full with Krishna. When the two confidential servants of the Supreme Lord, who were named Nanda and Sunanda, approached him, smiling happily, Dhruva stood with folded hands, bowing humbly. They then addressed him as follows. See, these sections of Bhagavatam are very important for us. Why? We should not only know how to live in this world, we also should know how to leave this world. So, descriptions about the spiritual world and descriptions about how one is transported to the spiritual world, if they are heard with great transcendental faith and spoken with great faith, then they will awaken our eagerness to attain the Lord, and also they will give us determination to attain detachment from this material world. So he's saying, Sunanda Nanda Uchatuhu, they both are jointly speaking. What are they saying? Nanda and Sunanda, the two confidential associates of the Lord Vishnu, spoke to Dhruva. Dear King, let there be all good fortune unto you. Please attentively hear what we shall say. When you are only 5 years old, you underwent severe austerities and you thereby greatly satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the whole universe, who carries in his hand the bow named Sharanga. Sharanga Dhanva, it says in Vishnu Sahasranam also. We have been specifically deputed to take you to the spiritual world. See, generally it is known Vishnu carries Shankh Chakra Gadapadma, correct? But Vishnu also carries a bow and arrow also. When he comes with another form with eight hands. Like that, Lord Vishnu appeared before demons and demigods after the Mohini Murthy pastime. There is the section where you will find Lord appears with eight hands. He appeared to Prachetas. You know, with how many hands he appeared? Anybody knows? Lord appears sometimes in Bhagavatam with eight hands. Eight hands appeared, yeah. And two of the hands were carrying bow and arrow also. Sharanga Dhanva. To achieve Vishnu Loka is very difficult. But by your austerity, you have conquered. Even the great rishis and demigods cannot achieve this position. Simply to see the supreme abode, the Vishnu's planet, the sun and moon and all other planets, stars, lunar mansions and solar system are circumambulating it. Now please come. You are welcome to go there. Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. The planet known as Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. O Immortal One, this unique airplane has been sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by selected prayers, Uttama Shlok, and who is chief of all living entities. You are quite worthy to board such a plane. So like this they are speaking. So these are very intimate associates of Lord Vishnu. They are actually Nanda and Sunanda. They are very intimate associates of Lord Vishnu, are coming to take Dhruva Maharaj and take him back to spiritual world. So Lord has many such associates, like Chakra, for example. In South India, the Chakra is called Chakra Thalvar, they call. He is also included as one of the Alvars, which means Chakra and Shankh, they are also persons in the spiritual world. They are persons. Now you might have heard of the Shivajwara and Narayana Jwara. They are also persons. Shivajwara, you know, when Shivajwara went in front of Narayana, went in front of Krishna, Shivajwara's capability was to burn. And Narayana Jwara's capability was to create cold. When Shivajwara went in front of Krishna, he started trembling with cold. It's like if sun comes in front of Krishna, it will start trembling with cold. Even sun can feel cold in front of Krishna. So in front of Narayana Jwara, it started feeling cold. So, like this, the great weapons are also associates. They are personal associates of the Lord. You find even Ashwasena was a Naga weapon. He is a Naga weapon, but he is also a person. He is a person who has frozen himself to look like an arrow. But then the arrow can again come back to life also. Like that, it is a person and a weapon. Similarly, the chakra, Sorshan chakra, it's a person actually. The spiritual world, very intimate associate of the Lord. That is why you find Ambarish Maharaj is offering prayers to chakra. Imagine, for example, somebody is creating a bomb blast in Pune. You know, will you offer prayers to the bomb? Oh, my dear bomb, whatever punya I did in the last so many years, please accept the punya and relieve me from bomb blast. You know, because you cannot offer prayer to a dead bomb. But the chakra is actually a person who can hear your prayer and he can show his mercy towards you. It's possible. So, actually, the scriptures say every living entity should be respected. Why? Because every living entity is a part and parcel of God. That's one reason. And also every living entity is accompanied by the Lord in the heart. So every living entity should not be treated like a stone or like dead, because the Lord is accompanying them in their heart. So when we offer obeisances to two people. Offer obeisances to the living entity because he is a part and parcel of God, is pure. Now currently he has become covered by impurity. And also he is accompanied by the Lord. So we offer obeisances to Lord also. And associates like Chakra and Shankha, they are very great personalities. Lord loves them very much. Sometimes like Lord Vishnu had given the Chakra to Ambarish for protecting him. That's why it could chase after him. Chase after Durvasa Muni everywhere. he went. And then after Ambarish offered prayer, then the Sudarshan Chakra decided, okay, now I'll forgive Durvasamani. So, similarly, Nanda, Sananda, they are all associates of the Lord. They are such intimate associates. You will find certain characteristics in these associates. One is that they are all, they all have great love and respect for each other, all these associates. And they have great fondness for the Supreme Lord also, Lord Vishnu. And also you find their love and attraction for the Supreme Lord never becomes, you know, it never becomes pale or stale. It never becomes stale like in the material world. In the material world, like for example, if you go to your office newly, you see some new people, you shake hands, you make friends, and then you develop some kind of friendship, but over a period of time in the office, due to familiarity, there may be misunderstanding, there may be quarrel, there may be non-cooperation, and there may be backbiting, or there may be politicking, all these things happen, you find. And the person whom you thought of as a friend before becomes a sworn enemy later on like that. You find like that. Similarly, in family, man and woman come together, there's attraction at the beginning, but over a period of time, if they're mentally situated, there will be misunderstanding, quarrel. The relationship becomes very strained between friendships. It's very common in this world, we can see. It is very difficult for someone to have a constantly flowing attraction towards another person in this world, which never fades away, which never becomes stale. It's very difficult. It's unseen. It's very rare. Like, you know, we were in one house in Calcutta. I think it was house of Imami. There's Imami powder, Imami soap, and all these things. Very famous company. The owners of Imami, I think. Imami only, no? Correct, Imami, yeah. So, in their house, there was a program. So, the owners, one was Radhesham Goyanka, I think. Another one was Radhesham Agarwal. These two people were childhood friends. Right from small kids, school day, they were together, studying in the same school, they grew up. Before they both have their business. And now, they have been friends for last 50 years. Can you imagine? So, we were in that program, Maharaj came to know, and both their names are Radhesham. So, Radhesham Goenkaji and Radhesham Agarwalji. So, at the end of the program, Maharaj was telling everyone, he said, this two people, just see what a great miracle. Is there anyone here in this room who has a 50-year-old friend? 50-year you are friends with anybody? And then Maharaj was telling that, you know, our friendships break so easily in this world because familiarity breeds contempt. Because we bring our egos in between. We bring our prestige in between. We bring our status in between. But these two people have remained friends for so long. And then Maharaj was telling, in our home we had three sons, he was telling. And he said, my father said, my sons never had a fight amongst themselves, he said, because he said, we never stayed together, we were always in three different places, he said. So he said, to have such friendships is not very difficult when you are not together. But when you are together, then the friendship is very difficult. He said, sometimes his father used to call him on phone and say to Maharaj that, Swami, now these two, your other two brothers are fighting, please come and sort it out, he would say, he said. So, he was telling, but these people have been such friends. Just look at them. They are sitting next to each other. They are so kind to each other. And how much they love each other. Just see. And he said, sir, all of you appreciate them. Haribol. And everyone said Haribol. He said, it is not a very easy thing, this world. And what happened at the beginning of the program, they got one garland. So, Radhesham Goyankaji was given the garland to put for Maharaj. And then he was about to put, and then he turned towards his friend, whether he has another garland. And they were running round and round, they couldn't get a garland. And they said, no problem, you catch one side, I'll catch one side. Then they both put the garland, like this, one from this side, one from this side. And Maharaj noticed that and said, just see, you know, they are not bringing their ego, saying that, How is it that one garland was given to him for putting to Swami and I was not given? They don't bring that ego problem, he was telling. They're willing to share. That thing is there. It's very rare actually. And then he said, because both of them come from a good family, they are eager to hear Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. They have learned to adjust with one another and they are able to be friends for so long. And he said such friendships are very rare in this world. Even in big families, like, Ambani family. Even in such big families, sometimes people, brother and brother, they fight and they break the family into two. It happens, yeah. It can happen even in devotional circle, if the relationships are not spiritual. But in the spiritual world, and the associates of the Lord are all very intimately united amongst one another, and in their love for the Lord, and the Lord's attraction is so great. It is said the Lakshmiji is there, they sweep the floor. In the spiritual world, the floor is like glass. It's shining like mirror. Still they take a broomstick and they sweep it, just to please Lord Vishnu. Yeah, just to serve him, and just to win his heart. And the Lakshmis never get bored. He's the same Vishnu, how many times you have seen. They don't think like that, yeah. Because the Lord's qualities are expanding, His beauty is expanding. Yeah. And in fact, I have seen people loving Lord Vishnu like that. That kind of love. When I was in South India, I have seen the Sri Vaishnavas when they worship Ranganath. And also Balaji. Those who are worshipping Balaji, you will find there are many people, they are so fond of celebrating festivals for the Lord. Making the dress for the Lord and making garlands and putting chandan. They treat the Lord just as their own master. He's my master. Carrying him on the palanquin. And sometimes, festivals are laborious. They take hours and hours of chanting mantras, offering flowers, making decoration of palanquin, everything, making julan and everything. And even I have found old people, 80 years, 85 years people, very joyfully in the rendering service. When I look at them, I used to feel these people are already standing on Vaikuntha only. You will feel like that when you see them. Because they are not doing it because of getting some remuneration. They are not doing because it's our duty, today is festival, so we have to do this. No. Their love in the heart is so much, they become so much a part of spiritual world, even while being in this world. They become very intimate associates. And they are able to experience the love for the Lord in their heart very deeply. Very deeply it has sunk in their heart. So, as it is explained here, these are all Vishnu's associates. Even before Vishnu says a word, they know his mind. What Lord Vishnu would like us to do. They would immediately do. So, Lord Vishnu has associates not only in the spiritual world, he has associates in the material world also, the demigods who are taking care of the administrative affairs of the universe. There is one very beautiful section, I'll conclude with that. It appears in the, probably you might have come across it in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam. this scene is when all the demigods come in front of Lord Narasingadev. And every demigod will offer a prayer, you will find, in glorification of the Lord, but in connection to themselves. You will find that. It's a very beautiful prayer. You see, they are standing in front of Narasingadev now. Brahma is praying. Shri Brahma Vacha. Lord Brahma prayed, "My Lord, you are unlimited and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it and again annihilate it, yet you remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you." So Brahma is telling this because he wants to create the species and manage the material world without getting entangled. That's why he's offering a prayer like this. You'll find every one of them. Then Shiva said, Sri Rudra Uvacha. And he's saying, Kopakalo Yugantaste Hatoyam Asuro. Asurolpaka. He's saying, Lord Shiva said, the end of the millennium is the time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon Hiranyakashipu has been killed, oh my lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotee, kindly protect the son Prahlad, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee. What is special in this prayer? He is saying, Kopakalo, the end of millennium is the time for your anger, because Shiva also shows anger at the time of annihilation. So he is telling Lord shows anger. So all of them are offering a prayer to the Lord in relation to them. And then who is coming then? Indra is coming. Shri Indra Uvacha. O Supreme Lord, you are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually yours, have been recovered from the demon by you. Because the demoniac king Hiranyakashipu was most fearsome, our hearts, which are your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now by your presence, the darkness in our hearts is eradicated. And that is saying. See, Indra is talking about what? Share of sacrifice, because that is his interest. And Indra and the demigods are praying, oh my dear Lord, we were getting shares of sacrifices before this Hiranyakashipu, you know, he became such a big demoniac rascal, he just took away all the shares. Now that you have killed him, now we are getting our shares of sacrifices, thank you very much. Like that. And then rishis are coming, rishayah uchu. What are they saying? All the saintly persons present offered their prayers in this way. Oh Lord, O Supreme Maintainer of those sheltered at your lotus feet, O original personality of Godhead, the process of austerity and penance in which you instructed us before is the spiritual power of your very self. It is by austerity that you create the material world which lies dormant within you. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon. But now by your appearing, Om Narsingadev, you have again approved the process of austerity. So rishis are talking about austerity. And then who is coming? Shripati Ruva, Shri Pitru Vacha, Pitruloka residents, they are praying. Let us offer our respectful obeisances to Lord Narsingadev, the maintainer of religious principles of the universe. He has killed Hiranyakashipu, who by force enjoyed all the offerings of Shraddha ceremonies performed by our sons and grandsons on the anniversaries of our death, and who drank the water with sesame seeds offered in holy places of pilgrimage. Now that we are getting back our Pindara Kriya back, thank you very much. They are saying, Pitru, you know. Say, Sri Siddhaha Uchu, Siddhaloka residents, they are praying. Oh Lord Narsingadev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve Ashta Siddhis. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances to you. They are talking about Ashta Siddhis. Shri Vidyadhara Uchuhu. See, Vidyadharas, what are they saying? Our acquired power to appear and disappear in various ways according to varieties of meditation was banned by that foolish Hiranyakashipu because of his pride. Now the Supreme Lord has killed him just as if the demon were an animal. So we offer his obeisances. So now they can again disappear and reappear in another places, Vidyadharas. They are very happy. Sri Nagaha Uchuhu. Nagas are praying. The most sinful Hiranyakashipu took away all the jewels on our hoods and all our beautiful wives. Now since his chest has been pierced by your nails, you are the source of all pleasure of our wives. Thus we together offer our obeisances unto you. Nagas are saying, because they carry the jewels on their hoods. And then Manus are offering prayer. As your order carriers, O Lord, we the Manus are the lawgivers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Varnashrama were destroyed. Now you have killed him, so kindly order us what to do now. Again we will establish Varnashrama, they are saying, Manus. And Prajapatayah Uchuhu, Prajapatis are speaking. What are they saying? Oh Supreme Lord, Lord of even Brahma and Shiva, we are the Prajapatis, we were created by you to execute your orders, but we were forbidden by Hiranyakashipu to create any more good progeny. Now that the demon is lying before us, his chest pierced by you, we are offering obeisances to you. Like that they are saying. Because they are supposed to increase the progeny in this world. Gandharvas are coming now. You can guess what Gandharvas might have prayed. Inhabitants of Gandharvaloka prayed. Oh, your lordship, we ever engage in your service by dancing and singing in dramatic performances. But this Hiranyakashipu, by the influence of his bodily strength and valor, brought us under his subjugation. Now he has been brought to this low condition. What benefit can result from the activities of such an upstart as Hiranyakashipu? Which means they were actually dancing and singing beautifully for Lord Vishnu always, but Hiranyakashipu stopped all the dancing and singing. He locked them up. Just like the Vedic Brahmanas used to chant mantras, but Kamsa had stopped. When Krishna was born, they all recited Vedic mantras very loudly, happily. And then Charanas are coming. They are praying, "Oh Lord, because you have destroyed the demon Hiranyakashipu, who was always a stake in the hearts of our honest men, we are now relieved." And then they are saying, "Your lotus feet award the conditions for liberation from materialistic contamination." These Charanas are very learned people. They recite the Vedic mantras very nicely. They are talking about liberation. And Yakshas are coming. Yakshas are saying, "Oh, controller of the 24 elements, we are considered to be the best servants of your lordship because of rendering services pleasing to you. Yet we were engaged as palanquin carriers by the order of Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti. Oh Lord, in the form of Narsingadev, you know how this demon gave trouble to everyone, but now you have killed him. And his body is mixing with the five metal elements." They're saying, see, the Yakshas are a little proud here. They are saying, "We are considered the best servants of your lordship because of rendering services pleasing to you," they are saying. Like there is a prayer which is often offered to demigods. "Tumse badkar kaun, tumhare bhakton mein humse badkar kaun." Oh Lord, there is no one greater than you, and amongst your worshippers, there is no one greater than us. So Yakshas were praying in that consciousness. And Kim Purushas came. What did they pray? "Oh Lord, we are insignificant living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers to you?" Like that they are praying. So like this, there are many. Kinaras are praying. Lastly, associates of Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha Loka, they are offering prayer. "Oh Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Narasimha Deva, meant for the good fortune of all the world. Oh Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu was the same Jai who engaged in your service but was cursed by Brahmanas and who thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed is your special mercy upon him." Very wonderful prayer by Vishnu associates. Very pure prayer. See, they are glorifying Lord Narasimha Dev for appearing. And they are saying that your appearance is for the benefit of whole world. Why? For all time to come, you will be worshipped as every day there will be Namaste Narasimhaya in all his contemples. You will be glorified and remembered, and you will act as a protector of all your devotees. And besides that, they did not condemn Hiranyakashipu. They did not talk ill of him, but they said that, you know, he is the same Jai who appeared as Hiranyakashipu to please you as per your order and as per the order curse of the Brahmanas. Like that they are praying. So why I recited all these prayers? Lord has associates both in spiritual world and in material world. But the people in the material world, because they are not free from three modes, their prayers are also mixed with selfish interests oftentimes. Maybe subtle selfish interest, may not be gross, but subtle interest. There's a likelihood in the material world. But as one transcends the three modes and goes to a spiritual platform, the prayers also become purer. Like there is one prayer of Brahma where he says, "Oh my dear Lord," after the Parma Vimohan Leela, he says, you know, "Oh my dear Lord, give me a birth either in the, you know, body of an animal or a bird or an insect. Any form is all right for me, as long as I am able to associate with your devotees." That's a very pure prayer.
Kita janma ho yata tu vadas bahir mukha brahma janma nahi mora ash manasa deho geho yo kichu mo arpilu tuva pade nanda kishor.
So when Jai Vijay were cursed by the brahmanas, you know, they started almost crying. Lord Vishnu came and he pacified the four kumaras and told them, because my servants have committed this mistake of offending you by not allowing you, I am willing to lop off my hands if you want me to do, because I am responsible for them. And hearing these words, Chatush Kumaras were surprised by hearing the sweet words of the Lord and his feelings of remorse. So they started telling the Lord, "Oh, my dear Lord, no, there was no offense on their part. They stopped us. That was appropriate." And then they said, "You know, we have forcefully cursed them." And they wanted to seek sorry, forgiveness. And the Lord told them, "Don't worry. It was not only your desire that they should go to the material world. It was my desire also that they should go to the material world." And then he reminded them that Lakshmiji long before had cursed you to go to material world. That time, that curse was remained as it is. It was not given any effect. Sometimes we come up, you know, with a policy and we find the devotee has committed a mistake. We spell out a punishment, but it is not taking effect. It takes some time. You have experience of this? We tell, "Hey, you did this. We should give this punishment." There is no punishment for a long time. Like that, Lakshmi once was coming to meet Lord Vishnu. And this Jai Vijay, just as they would stop anyone, they stopped Lakshmi also. And Lakshmi became so angry. She said, "Hey, I want to meet my Lord and you can't allow me. And you guys are stopping me also with your mace and everything." She became very upset and very angry. And they said, no, Lord is resting now. Nobody can disturb him. Then she asked, "Whom are you talking? Is it your Lord or my Lord?" She asked. And then they both looked at each other. They also got a bit confused. Because they thought, he is our Lord also, and he is Lord of Lakshmi also. They thought, Lakshmi said, "Better let us go inside and ask him only." So when they asked Lord Vishnu, "Whose Lord are you?" Vishnu saw both of them and he just gave a smile, that's all. He just smiled. Smile has deep meaning. It answers many, many questions. You know, Kunti Maharani offered so many prayers beginning from that verse. Namaste Purusham Tu Adyam, from that verse. Many, many, many prayers, wonderful prayers. At the end, she looked at Krishna, what is he going to say? What Krishna said? Just smiled, which means I accept all your prayers. So, but then at that time Lakshmi had cursed them, because you stopped me, you have to go to material world. And they shrugged off, they just turned away. They didn't speak a word after that, and Lakshmi also forgot it. But Lord Vishnu said, "You already have one curse pending in your account. And now these four kumaras have given also." So, in some places it is explained, there was a chance, if they become demons, it will take only 3 births. If they are going to be devotees, it may take many lifetimes, I think. How many? 6 or 7 lifetimes, yeah. And then the Lord asked, "Which one would you prefer?" So they understood Lord's mind. They knew that Lord wants to have some stunt experience, fighting experience. So when they saw his desire, they said, "My dear Lord, for your pleasure, we will do the drama of being demons. We don't mind. If that's what will please you, we will act like Hiranyakashipu, we will act like Shishupal, Dandavakra and all that." So they accepted this role. Just like Vritrasura accepted. Chitraketu was a pure devotee, but he accepted Vritrasura's role. Very similar. Jai Vijay accepted that role. That's why they are saying, Vishnu Dutas, "Oh, this is after all our Jai. He might have acted like a demon, but he is after all your pure associate in the spiritual world." So these kind of prayers are very pure. So Lord has, I couldn't talk anything about the ultimate spiritual world, which is Goloka Vrindavan, where there are innumerable associates of Krishna. Lord Krishna told Indra that, "I am your master, you are my servant." In the Vaikuntha world, all the living beings tell Vishnu, "Oh, you are our master, we are your servant." But in Goloka Vrindavan, by the power of Yogamaya potency, all the living entities, nobody accepts Krishna as master. They accept him as friend, they accept him as lover, accept him as a child, dependent child. And in that intimacy, that intimacy is even more greater, and even more pleasing to Krishna. Ultimately, it is for the pleasure of Krishna only. So, in this way, Brahma is talking about the spiritual world. Here, he is talking about Vaikuntha. That's why we spoke more about Vaikuntha here. Speaking very beautifully. Hearing these descriptions will elevate our consciousness from the materialistic absorption into the spiritual world. And as we read more and more, Lord's nature, His characteristic, His behavior, His sweetness, gradually will enter into our hearts. The more we read Bhagavata, the kingdom of God description is so beautiful. And then the fondness will arise eventually. But it will not just arise simply hearing the katha. That is why Narada boy, later on when he became a liberated pure devotee, he said, the chanting of the holy name and hearing the pastimes of the Lord is the safest boat for all the living entities wandering in this material samsara sagar. So both are important. Chanting of the holy name and hearing these pastimes. Hearing these pastimes will create an attraction in our heart. That attraction will help us to chant with intensity. And chanting with intensity will cleanse our hearts and increase more taste for hearing. Then we hear more. It's like a cyclic thing. In this way, gradually we become more and more purified by the study of Bhagavatam and chanting of the holy name. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.